Blog Talk Radio.
BDPAI Radio showcases IT entrepreneurs, technology experts, and computer science academics. We highlight people with a passion for educating our youth in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. BDPAI Radio Show serves the BDPA members, sponsors, entrepreneurs, educational institutions, and the black community. BDPAI Radio, linking business, education, and technology.
Well, welcome to the BDPAI Radio Show. I'm Fran McNeil, your host for the show, and today is Tuesday, March 11th. We continue the BDPAI Radio Show tradition of airing the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. And our guests this evening are our very own Dalrick Webb, who is the president of BDPA Cincinnati. And our second guest this evening is Russell Frankel. And Russell is the Director of Collaborative Programs and Outreach for Advanced IT Minnesota. So we're going to start off our evening with Dalrick. And I've had the opportunity to chat with him a little bit before the show. And it's really exciting to have him on the show. So I'm going to share with you a little background, and then we're going to get into the interview. Dalrick Webb is the new president. He was sharing with me that he was just inducted in the beginning of the year, the new president of BDPA Cincinnati chapter. And under his leadership, there's been a significant uptick in programs, members, and donations associated with the chapter. Dalrick has a powerful vision for the future of BDPA in the greater Cincinnati area. And so we, BDPAI Radio, and you will be very interested in hearing from Dalrick on what he considers the ROI, value proposition, for both IT professionals and corporate America when it comes to BDPA programs, scholarships, and services. So welcome, Dalrick. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Fran. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. And so let's get real. What's the weather like in Cincinnati? I'm sitting in Philadelphia, and we had actually balmy weather today.
Well, that's really unfortunate, Fran, because today was a beautiful 70-plus degrees here in Cincinnati. It was sunny. It was people outside in shorts and T-shirts. It was great.
Well, you know what? I believe in happiness. So if Cincinnati has 70-degree weather, that's a great thing. So I'm glad that you're in a good mood. And let's get started. You know, I mentioned just in reading your bio that you're relatively new to the role of president. But before we start there, why don't you share with our audience how you first found out about BDPA?
Well, like a lot of things, Fran, it was an act of nature. I was out at a mixer for technology professionals in 2011 at the Work Mixer in downtown Cincinnati. And at that mixer, one of the people I ran into there was the then chapter president, Wanda Gray. Wanda was telling me about the organization briefly, and she gave me her business card along with other people there. And believe it or not, I do follow up people's business cards. So I had done that with Wanda and asked her, wanted to sit with her more and find out how I could help with the organization. So we met for lunch, I think it was, at Chipotle. And she told me about the different, opportunities to serve in the organization and how the chapter was in need of volunteers to meet their objectives. So I said, all right, then I signed me up, and I signed up as the Vice President of Membership Management, and that's how I became involved, and that's when my term started, really.
In the BDPA tradition, which is great. I mean, one of the things I've learned from so many guests is that BDPA genuinely offers members the opportunity to lead and get involved. And so if you step up, you have a chance to make a difference.
Yes, indeed.
So it started with a mixer and a very important contact, and you had a crucial role in the VPC. How did you make that transition into the presidency, and what's it like sitting in that chair?
Now, that's a great question. So the VPMM role was a bit of a challenge. You know, coming into the organization, which is very similar to coming into the presidency role, not having done due diligence in the terms of, you know, finding out more about what the responsibilities were and, you know, what the rhythm were, you just jump right into things trying to help out. When I jumped into the vice president leadership management role, I was immediately bombarded with 1,000 things that the chapter needed. And it was a bit of a culture shock for me to step into that role initially. And over the 2 years that I served in that role, I became more comfortable with it. I became more, you know, understanding, of course, of the BDPA rhythm, how things worked, how the chapter was trying to operate, the chapter's mission, our STEM program, how we worked with the HSCC program, all those key deliverables and pillars of the organization. Similarly, as my term was ending, as Clarence's term, the previous chapter president, Clarence LaCarche, as his term was ending, there was a lot of talk about who was going to succeed him as the next president. And I thought about it long and hard and hemmed and hawed and said I was going to not do it, said I was going to do it. Actually, I never said I was going to do it. I kept saying I wasn't going to do it because I was thinking that, okay, I've given 2 years. I've given enough. And but, you know, at the end of the day, I talked to some people who were attending our program meetings, and they were interested in joining the chapter and getting and seeing the chapter be successful. So really what brought me into the presidency was the members of BDPA and the fact that people wanted to get engaged and further the works of this organization was what called me to step forward and be seek the presidency. So when Clarence asked me did I want to run for president, I said yes, I would. And it was really because there were several people who had said they would step up and join the chapter to see the chapter be successful. That's why I became president.
And that's a powerful reason. And again, membership not only has its privileges, it has its responsibilities. And part of it is to help identify what value is. And so I think it is really very powerful that you were able to understand through your 2-year term as a VP, what the organization was about, build those relationships, and then have the opportunity to be there to hear members say, this is important to us, we'd like you to be involved, we're going to stay involved, and we're going to help move the chapter forward. So in doing that, where are you now? You mentioned before the show that, you know, you haven't even been in this role for 100 days. So what's going on in your chapter? What's exciting? What are you proud of?
So I think that the things I'm most proud of, what's going on is we are a growing, dynamic chapter. We have a lot going on. We are growing our membership. I think we've grown 52% in the last 3 months or so under our current BPMM and his team. We have a very robust program meeting every month, which has been ongoing. I think we have not missed a program meeting in the last 8 months. I think it is 9 months or something like that, almost a year. We have a brand new HSCC, a YTC team, Youth Technology Camp team that started up on January 11th. They're going strong with about 20 students. We've got new sponsors coming on board, corporate sponsors coming on board, or renewing sponsors coming on board. Our grant writing VP of fundraising is writing new grants for proposals for sponsorship. We have a very active and dynamic chapter going on. And what I'm essentially proud of is that the team is really pulling together. I mean, there's a ton of work to be done. And when I met with the team late last year, you know, the emphasis was on together. Together we can all achieve more. Together everyone achieves the team concept. Together everyone achieves more. because no one person, no one organization can fill the gap that's in the black communities. And so, with such a great need, you know, we all have to work together. And if one person is overburdened and there's not enough people to help share the load, that one person will get burnt out. And so, but I'm very proud of what our team is, that we work at sharing the load. You know, everyone kind of, you know, if the VP of MS is overburdened, she'll raise her hand and say, I need help. And, you know, people will rally around her to help her out. And that's how we become successful. I think that's how the team has become successful. And I think people are joining the organization now because they see that we are a team. We are working together to make things happen. And I think that's what I am very proud of is the people that are on this team. I mean, it's why I'm here. I think it's what the organizations that support, that sponsor us, they, when they come to our program meetings, when they see what we're doing with the students, they see that there are people who are passionate, as you mentioned earlier, about what BDPA's mission is. They see that the organization is working to bring more black technologists to the forefront, making them more viable for the organizations that are looking to increase their diversity pipeline. They see that we're engaged with the students, and that's clearly a big gap in our communities. So all those things that we're trying to do, to your point earlier, those are the ROI factors that sponsors, supporters, students, and members see from our engagement in the chapter. And I'm very proud of that stuff.
And I can hear that, and I love the fact that that acronym is really powerful, team. Together, everyone achieves more. And connecting that with the ROI, some of our listeners may not be entirely familiar with the use of ROI as it relates to membership and sponsorship. So if you were talking with a sponsor, if a sponsor was talking with you, what's being said in terms of the value that a sponsor receives or appreciates from a BDPA chapter like yours?
That's another great question, Fran. You know, we just had a couple of corporate sponsorship meetings over the last couple of weeks here, engaging sponsors in that exact discussion. The question they returned to us is, what is the ROI for our organization to be involved with BDPA? And our answer is always the same. You know, organizations are looking for opportunities to increase their diversity pipeline. BDPA offers that. We have a diversity career job board where we have our people, black professionals, put their resumes in. Companies can purchase that opportunity to look at the job board. We also have our free program meetings where anybody can walk in the door and find a candidate sitting in the program meeting that's viable for their opportunity. We have a lot of organizations want to give back to the communities, especially with the students and the sites and STEM programs. BDPA has that locked down already. We have a very robust and solid program that we put on for our students all the way up through the high school computer competition that we're taking us team to national with. So the sponsors or supporters can see all their ROI in addition to just the opportunity for black IT professionals to build their professional and personal networks. We have a strong CAC, Corporate Advisory Council, where we have C-level type personnel on that serve as an executive board to our BDPA members. They provide mentorship and direction to the team. So, I mean, there are many, many touch points of ROI from an organization perspective and from a member perspective.
And that, again, that is tangible. It's something that your leadership team clearly is able to communicate, and it's something that sponsors and members can experience. So when you now have several years being on the leadership team of BDPA Cincinnati, what are two lessons that you could share to help BDPA members as they're either thinking about becoming more involved in your chapter, or that might help a BDPA member who might attend one or two program meetings but maybe isn't as involved in their chapter as they could be. So sort of some lessons learned.
Okay. Two things that stand out in my mind are when getting involved with the BDPA organization is to, especially if you're going to join the board or you're going to participate as a volunteer, and that is don't get overwhelmed and think strategically. With so much of a need in our communities, volunteers, which is what all BDPA members are who are working on the board, volunteers can very easily and quickly get overwhelmed with all that needs to get done. And that's one of the, stifling problems in the Black community as in general, is that there's so much need, we oftentimes don't know where to start or how to best go about making things happen. So to make a difference in the lives around us is a better way to proceed if you can have, like we're trying to do in our chapter, some standardized templates, some standard operating procedures, some ways that things normally run smoothly so that the volunteers can focus more on execution as opposed to having to build a bridge or rebuild a bridge that's been built or rebuilt many, many times before. Those things cause volunteers to get burnt out quicker and get demoralized. So I think that one of the best lessons learned, one of the two is don't get overwhelmed. Try to find that happy medium between your busy life of normal life outside of BDPA and your volunteer life in BDPA and not get overwhelmed. And the second part is think strategically. Oftentimes we get into a role of volunteering or some other activity like in BDPA where we're tasked to do something and we think just executing that one task is all that matters. And we don't see how that one task connects to the larger picture. So, for example, the director of communications in our chapter is responsible for sending out a press release that simply says, hey, Derek Webb joined the board today. Now, that's a simple task. But strategically thinking, that's also a marketing opportunity. It's a branding opportunity. It's a chance to put more presence into the local community. I mean, there are many ways especially in today's technology-savvy world, to really market a press release. And so by thinking strategically, rather than just saying I'm just going to accomplish this one task and put out a flyer or something that says, press release, I'm going to think strategically and think, how can I make this one simple act connect many dots around the BDPA mission? So those two things, don't get overwhelmed and think strategically, are the two things I think are probably the biggest lessons I would pass on to someone looking to join the chapter today.
Well, certainly words of wisdom. And every once in a while, I won't say often, but I'll say every once in a while, I do hear members of the leadership team of a chapter say, gosh, we need more help. I'm feeling overwhelmed. And I really like how you broke it down in terms of thinking strategically and having that mantra of not getting overwhelmed. You mentioned earlier that your team, as part of working well together, that individuals are able to say, I need help. And the whole concept of having templates and not reinventing the wheel to make it easier for people to be successful makes a lot of sense. So, Delrick, thank you again for sharing your time and your talents with us this evening. I wish your presidency continued success. The 60% growth in membership in 3 months has got to be up there in terms of really a groundbreaking statistic. So, again, congratulations to you and your team. And I would love to hear more from your chapter as the year goes on with some of your continued successes. So thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you, Fran.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So I'm going to check in, folks, with Everaldo and see if our next guest, Russell Frankel, is on the line. Everaldo, is Russell on the line?
Hello, Russell. Russell Frankel here.
Okay,
Russell's on the line.
Excellent. Well, Russell, welcome to BDPAI Radio. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you for this opportunity to visit with your audience.
Oh, it is our pleasure. And what I'm going to do is just read a brief portion of your bio so that our audience has a sense of who you are, and then we'll have a conversation so they can be clued into what you're doing and how what you do makes a difference in the IT world. Russell Frankel is the Director of Collaborative Programs and Outreach for Advanced IT Minnesota, which is a center of excellence within the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities system. And the mission is to inspire students to pursue an education and career pathway collaborative initiatives, prepare them for the workforce demand and success. And, you know, Mr. Frankel, welcome to the program. I am wondering if you could share with the audience, how did you first find out about BDPA?
Well, thank you for that question. I first found out about BDPA through Michael Wolf, who at the time was and I think still is a graduate student going for his doctorate at Argosy University. And we were looking for some partners to get engaged with us in sort of this process of identifying, doing outreach to high school, middle school students to get them interested in a kind of a technology education and career pathway. And Michael came to us through his advisor at Argosy, because she kind of understood that not only had he an interest in doing this, he also had just this great passion around doing, you know, volunteer work and outreach work to youth, and especially youth of color. So that was the first connection. That was about, I'm going to say, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So how did the relationship with BDPA kind of continue to develop, and how does it intertwine with the mission of Advanced IT Minnesota?
Well, first of all, one of the things that we came to understand was that we had a similar interest in trying to provide just good outreach efforts and identify and recruit young people who, you know, might not have a clear sense about what technology creation or technology careers are about. And we sort of had this, we thought this kind of a common opportunity to work together on that. And the good news is that we weren't going about that business alone. There were a number of other entities and individuals that had the same interest. The other piece that I came to understand after I was working with Michael was that they were kind of, I'm going to say, partly living out of a suitcase. And so what was happening is each year that they would bring their program up, they would be in the kind of the business of trying to find a new location to accommodate their needs. And so the thing that we were able to kind of bring to the equation is to provide them with some kind of more consistent space on our St. Paul Metro State University campus where they could conduct their Saturday program. So they would have access to computer lab space, and they could start to call that home. And so for the last roughly 3 years now, that's what's been happening. So, you know, that's kind of one of the really necessary partnerships to really start with is some type of facility that you can conduct business in. So we were, you know, grateful for that ability to be able to kind of help BDPA out in that way. So that's where it started. You know, since then, it's sort of evolved into you know, I love to attend, for instance, the celebration and the kind of the recognition events that they kick their new year off with, where they're, you know, recognizing and building community around the mission of BDPA. You know, so they get all those students up there, they get their parents there, all the community supporters. And so we're there as well to kind of just encourage young people to become part of this. And you know, if you've, I assume you've been to those events, you know, it's really wonderful because these young people are, it's kind of their first exposure to how do I interact with people in the workforce? How do I kind of carry myself? What are sort of the, you know, all those, what we call essential skills, they're kind of called, I've heard them to be called soft skills, but they really are essential skills in the sense that that's the kind of skills that they need to be successful in any kind of job that they will find themselves in the future. So, yeah, so I attend those, and so I think our relationship has evolved to a point now where we have a Call of Discover IT meetup, where we have all these different providers that are doing this pre-college work to get young people interested, and BDPA is at the table, as are a number of other providers. And so, yeah, I think it has evolved rather nicely. And there are some other ways that we're connecting with them, and we just kind of watch out for each other to make sure we're finding ourselves in the same room, in a kind of generating greater support for what we're doing, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, and it fits so well in with your title. I mean, how perfect, Director of Collaborative Programs and Outreach. And so, you know, as I listen to you share, being able to provide space, that consistent space, so that the BDPA programs who are attracting the students and have the volunteer support can have a place to perform.
Right.
And, you know, what you shared about attending the celebrations and seeing the development of the youth, not only in technical skills, but in people skills, interpersonal skills, as you said,
right,
quite eloquently, the essential skills, that those are really contributions that will last them a lifetime and certainly help them as they transition from grade school, middle school, high school, into college and beyond.
Right, exactly.
Now, share with myself and our audience, who is exactly part of the Minnesota State Colleges and University System? You know, we do have a chapter in Minneapolis, chapter, but you know, sort of how far does it extend? Are there opportunities maybe that other BDPA chapters could participate in, even though they weren't in Minnesota?
Right. Well, I think that our kind of footprint in terms of the work that we do certainly is with a number of institutions. I think I'm going to say there's approximately mid-30s, the number of institutions/campuses that are part of the what we call MNSCU, the MNSCU system. And so they're spread out throughout the state of Minnesota. And so the institution it isn't, but is complementary to, is it's not the University of Minnesota and the affiliate University of Minnesota campuses. So it's the other major college, public supported college system in the state of Minnesota. So the beautiful part of it is that by design, it's in greater Minnesota, which is more of our kind of a rural parts of the state, And it's certainly a number of institutions within the metro area, which is sort of a 7 to 9 county area around Minneapolis-St. Paul. So if there's a BDPA chapter that exists somewhere other than within the metro area, then that would make perfect sense for us to work in collaboration with. I'm not aware of any other at this stage, but that's so we identify with, you know, kind of Michael Wolf and his colleagues, more so in the metro area.
And that makes total sense. Now, one of the initiatives that BDPA has is creating chapters on college campuses.
Yes.
And do you see any progression of the BDPA high school students going into Minnesota-based colleges and, you know, potential chapters or potential affiliation continuing?
Certainly think that that's conceivable. If that's something that the local chapter would like to strategically pursue, then we would certainly be open to, you know, a greater, you know, more conversation about that to see where that would seem to make the most sense. Because I assume you'd kind of start with some type of pilot experience. And I don't know if it would be purely institution-based or more system, a little more system-wide, where, for instance, within the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, where you could have a BDPA college connection that could occur, because then you might have the critical mass you need in terms of students that are enrolled in a variety of different metro area campuses that would get the benefits of being in a BDPA kind of sponsored college relationship.
I don't know. I mean, you know, one of the reasons I'm asking the question is to spark conversation, to kind of encourage curiosity, and because. So, for example, I sit here in Philadelphia, so with there are a number of colleges here that we're actively looking at African-American IT students. There are entrepreneurs like myself that sponsor college student memberships because there is an opportunity for BDPA to impact not only high school students and professionals, because our motto is from the classroom to the boardroom, and also to support college students.
Yeah, well, first of all, I love that motto because I think it really tells it like it is from working from, you know, where you're growing and learning to where you're going to be acting, which is, you know, certainly out in the workforce. So I love that motto. I would say, once again, we're certainly open to that. I know that a local chapter has been delving in a couple different directions. One is to reach down into the middle school level as a kind of a feeder base for the high school program.
Mm-hmm.
That's one area. I also know that Michael and company have been taking a look at a more of an online program that doesn't require, well, it's, let me think about this. It's virtual. It's more of a virtual experience that wouldn't necessarily require a facility. And, you know, so that's one of the innovations that I know he's been experimenting with some other partners to see if they can actualize that in some fashion.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's one of the great things about volunteerism is individuals like Michael Wolf have, and his team have, the ability to reach out into the community, create and encourage partnerships, collaborations, sponsorships, and then think about innovative ways to engage members and re-engage members. And certainly as a technology organization, we want to be leveraging technology as much as possible. Now, one of the notes that I have here is that your organization is involved in the Aspirations in Computing Award. And I was wondering if you could share with our audience a little bit more about that award and how people might find out more about it.
Happy to do that. Our connection to that particular award occurred a couple of years ago. It's through the National Center for Women and Information Technology. And since 2006, they have had a national level award in which, of course, any high school age young woman from any of the states could make application for that national award. And that's a great opportunity. However, we saw and talked with NCWIC about a related opportunity, which was to create a state affiliate so that not only could we offer Minnesota students the opportunity and access to the national level of recognition, but to also apply for a state-level award. And, you know, it makes strategic great sense that if you're going to interest more young women in looking at what's happening at a national level, that, you know, it's best to kind of get it close to home so that you can promote the opportunity at a state level. So we began that process last year. BDPA was an active member in that process. In fact, two young women from the chapter here, Gabriella Knight and Sephora, I'm just blanking on her last
Tech
name
Lab.
At the moment.
Tech Lab.
Thank you so much. Yeah, both of them, it was so exciting because they were able to go on a local TV station along with an IT professional from Thomson Reuters and myself, and they were part of the promotional team that it helped expose the fact that we were launching that state opportunity last year. And so last year we ended up with 13 honorees. This year we ended up with 15 honorees. And so our hope and desire is that as we continue to do this, that just more and more young women throughout the state of Minnesota, and especially young women of color, are going to find the confidence, find the support to apply for the award, and hopefully through the process of that, grow their skills, grow their confidence, as I say, to the point where they're able to, be honored with the award. I will share with you that in our first year, at least six of the 11 honorees were young women of color. Mm-hmm. And what was really exciting for us was that one of them ended up also winning at the national level last year. And to give you a sense of what an accomplishment that is, the pool, I think last year was approximately, 2,100, 2,200 applicants nationwide. And the top honor is for 35, honors the top 35 of that 2,200. And so she was not only a state winner, but also was a national winner. And this year, while we didn't have a national winner, we did have four young women who finished as national runner-ups. So they're in the top 15% of those, what was this year, 2,600 national-level applicants. So Minnesota is doing really, really well with bringing greater awareness and greater sort of opportunity and the ability to build community around. We need more young women who are choosing this career path. And the National Center for Women and Information Technology has a really clear understanding and intention around, let's draw more awareness to the need, the shortage of IT talent, and the need to draw young women in particular into the field through this recognition process. So, you know, hats off to them for doing that. And we're delighted to be part of it. And I was just counting up today, we have 21 to 25 local sponsors and partners that are involved in this, and BDPA is one of them.
Very, very exciting. Well, Russell, thank you so much for being on the show this evening. You've provided a lot of information. I did have the opportunity last year to interview the executive director of NCWIT, and that program is, in fact, very, very exciting. And thanks for sharing what you're doing in your program with BDPA. I'd love to hear again more about the successes, and certainly as BDPA high school computer competition folks are involved in your program, we may actually have an opportunity to have them on the show as well. Typically in August, we have the high school computer competition winners on, and in the event that state winners are BDPA members, we'd love to have you join them and share a little bit more about that process. So thank you for your time this evening. It was really great having you on the show, and look forward to hearing more about the work that you're doing.
Well, my complete pleasure, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak with you and to, you know, talk with the audience as well. So thank you so very, very much.
You're welcome. Well, folks, we're going to wrap up our show for Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. Our guest this evening, just to recap, our first guest was Dalrick Webb, president of BDPA Cincinnati, and our second guest was Russell Frankel, who is the director of collaborative programs and outreach for Advanced IT Minnesota. I'm Fran McNeil. Joining me in the studio is Everaldo Gallimore. Special thanks to our executive director, Wayne Hicks, of the BDPA Education and Technology Foundation. And extra special thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us second and fourth Tuesday of every month. And we look forward to seeing you on March the 25th. Have a great evening.
BDPA iRadio, linking business, education, and technology, showcases IT entrepreneurs, technology experts, computer science academics, and people with a passion for educating our young people in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. BDPA iRadio Show is a regular exchange for BDPA members, sponsors, entrepreneurs, educational institutions, and the Black community. BDPA iRadio guests link the diverse worlds of business, education, and technology.